Mino habla speak. I remember one afternoon in Soho, sitting on the sidewalk with my long-haired cat, Harry. Single and carefree, showing my beautiful pet to the world, people passing by saying, "What a cute spick." I remember my first day of my first job after college, running to catch the subway, wearing a maroon vest on a fall morning, passing under a pigeon's butt, dropping a wet one on my back, giving me an aura I'd never live up to. People whispering on the platform, "What a cute spick." I remember my first poem at an open mic, the host announcing my name among the many, the crowd holding their applause, the bartender, the muse in the bathroom, the clergy at the front table gathered in judgment of a cute spick. I remember my first connection between artifice and libido after my first show and tell, weaving that tendril of libertine inhalation through the temporary airspace of second grade, my wet spot palpable little Veronica in polka dots playing horsey with my hanky, thinking, "What a cute spick." I remember my first late-night hookup set up by the morning phone call on 10th Street, playing strip scrabble on PCP, running out of letters before socks until the only words left were "what" and "cute." I remember my first assignment to compose a lecture as a visiting professor, choosing as my topic the apparent, only to me, similarities between futurism's early fulcrum parades and the first migration of New Yorkans, prompting the class to pick through the paper's remains, leaving no grace or misguided flower child unlit, which subsequently sparked the chair of the department into stepping down from throne to admonish, "Why bother with spick when the 60s have passed?" I remember having the chance to perform for the king and my drummer using lipstick to write a message on the king's giant ass, while I kept dancing, the audience howling in underwear that matched the failure of a cute spick. I remember a girl with my last name who came up to me after a show to tell me how lots of people with my last name were watching me now and that I needed to be responsible now, all the while me looking at her legs thinking, "What a cute spick." I remember my sisters teaching me how to dance salsa when I was in junior high, the hips following an island I'd never been on, politely holding my hand out, "Excuse me, could I have this dance?" My sister responding, "Why, yes, you cute spick." I remember holding an umbrella for Debbie in seventh grade after a dance, waiting for the bus, my first act of chivalry before acne, the hot girl in class, under my umbrella, not looking or saying a word on a rainy school night, but I'm sure thinking, "What a cute spick." I remember my uncle taking me to cover a wedding, my main job to hold the flash and eat free food, his humor continuing through the music that looked and tasted like butter, or was that cheese, on the car ride back, laughing nonstop at his own puerile stream, and me thinking, "What a cute spick." I remember the audience levitating in the middle of a poem, just one mic on a slightly raised platform, and me shape-shifting through eyesight, the sound out of my pupils blurred in an ocean of green effervescent inertia, the shapeless horde hovering through the unbelievably intact embryonic fluid of a star cluster's DNA spiral, my spickness resourced as kinetic quasars through light years of fragile diplomacy, thinking, "It doesn't get any spicker than this." I remember reading every email I sent to feel as if I was the person receiving my own words, basking in their clever reach to feel the warmth of many messages from many people, all of them me, a conglomerate of sinewy desperation wrapped up in the viral opportunity of a cute spick. I remember that time in the mailroom after months of talk and a good game, finally having to prove that of course I'd done it before, the cleaning lady walking in on bone and flesh, carpet burn and saran, "Oh, excuse me, rap, is that your oops, what a cute oh." I remember the need to keep secrets and hold on to something that no one else had just to own something until my tummy hurt, and the stain that followed explained a backlog of excess discolored by the lifelong incineration of a cute spick. I remember performing a butoh dance wearing nothing but a thong and black body paint, an enigma hiding in full view, my older girlfriend's friend in the audience confirming hydraulic suspicion, both of them nodding, "What a hmm." I remember changing the light bulb for a smaller girl, my long frame, standing on a wooden crate after a few bong hits, her hands holding me steady by the hips, my belt lined up with her brow, her lips mouthing out, "Hmm," and "Hmm." I remember being trapped by stanza and convention where words have been withdrawn from the vault of language I maintain as an obelisk for rhizomic displays of rendered territory flared into the stigma of a tediously benign, cute spick. I remember getting 50 cents stolen from me by the bully down the block, seeing an easy mark in high water pants with freshly bought matchbox racer held tight in my pocket, praying he wouldn't force my hands out, laughing as I walked off to his bully friend, "Yo, spick, you think that's cute, punch?" I remember being seduced by the stage, wearing industrial foam on my head while a ping pong ball made its way from throat to hand as my disembodied voice emerged through my rectum, offering the boatman's dilemma, how much for a cute spick? I remember running from a mouse into the beehive of a pajama party, cross town, slipping under the covers before knowing what to do there, spooning in the wrong position while fingering the button of a cute spick. I remember waking up one morning from uneasy dreams and finding myself transformed in my bed into a giant cucaracha, helpless on my back, draped under a flag of colors and shapes I couldn't pronounce, my mom opening the shutters, letting the sun in, saying, oh, what a beautiful spick. I remember the best of times, the worst of times, the age of wisdom, the age of foolishness, this epoch of disbelief, the season of hope, the winter of despair, the morning of Kokochi, having everything before us, nothing direct to heaven, going the other way in short, the noisiest authority insisting on the superlative degree comparable only to the tale of a cute spick. I remember the conceit of discovering a catchphrase built around identity and how fleeting the prospect of a fused mass, guided by skin color before brain power, the astral dimensions inherent in a DNA of parable presenting the overwhelming differences that claim how the one is cute before the one is spick. I remember finding a banana peel under a year's worth of newspapers, my refrigerator duct taped shut so I wouldn't be tempted to store even more unopened containers, and my sports jacket ironed along a complication of creases to better present an immaculately pressed emblem of normalcy to the world outside my congested walls. What a cute spick. I remember meeting the person I would spend my life with and not knowing until years later that I knew my life had just been completed the first moment our eyes met, but not knowing that moment would not be realized until many years after, lost in the time travel of love's engaged mess by sonatas both cute and incomplete. I remember thinking I needed a format to contain my writing and in the process stumbling upon a giant machine that would one day dictate to the world how to think and compose sentences by stealing what had been written and rearranging a sense of magnificence with a sense of boredom into the by now stock regurgitations of a cute spick. I remember sitting in Soho with my 2-year-old son, surrounded by expensive buildings where there used to be none. The world passing me, just thankful to get some rest in the sun's imperfections, the people ooing and eyeing, what a cute spick.